This episode of the Spirited Sports Podcast contains sensitive topics regarding death and discussions of grief.
The opinions expressed in this Spirited Sports Podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Life or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. Welcome to the Spirited Sports Podcast. I'm Nick Chico.
And I'm Todd Ashdour. From the ovations of the crowd to the tense moments of anticipation, sports have a special way of bringing people from all walks of life to a united front.
On this podcast, we'll explore the stories into the highs and lows, the triumphs and the heartbreaks that makes being a sports fan an emotional roller coaster ride.
The podcast where we dive deep into the heart of sports fandom, discussing the latest sports news and opinions on the sports we love.
Get ready for a rockin' ride, because whether we're podcasters, broadcasters, or listeners, we're all fans first.
This is the Spirited Sports Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Spirited Sports Podcast, episode number 24. Nick, Todd, Nevin, and Ben with you this week. No, totally. He'll be back next week. A football-filled episode as we get into episode number 24. All right, let's talk about the Denver Broncos. Let's take a little deep dive into them. Rookie quarterback Bo Nix is on fire. He was the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Broncos are currently 6-5 on the season, and they're currently in the 7th seed. If the season ended today, they'd be in the 7th seed of the AFC playoffs. The Broncos have not made the playoffs since 2016, the second longest current playoff drought in the NFL. But Nix and an elite defense, third in total defense, and fewest points allowed per game, and future Hall of Fame coach Sean Payton, done a pretty good job so far this season.
Yeah, they've done a great job. Especially Sean Payton, obviously, we know what he did in New Orleans. Him and Drew Brees there for all those years, helping the Saints become perennial contenders there. And, you know, last year was Sean Payton's first year, and they had a slow start, and they still finished, I think it was like 8-9 record, so they were pretty solid. And now this year, they're 6-5, and like you said, Nick, Bo Nix has been really good these last few weeks. The defense has been really good all year long. And yeah, like, I feel like they have a good chance to make the playoffs. They have some tough games left. I think they play the Chiefs one more time. Probably should have beat the Chiefs early in the year if it wasn't for that blocked field goal near the end there. They play the Colts, who are one game behind them in the AFC playoff picture, so that'll be an interesting game there. But yeah, it's good to see the Broncos. I don't know. I feel like, just for me, like, when I see the Broncos playing well, I feel like the NFL is just better. They're just one of those teams that, I don't know, they always seem to... When they're playing well, the league is just in a better place. So it's good to see them play that well, and hopefully they can make the playoffs for sure. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good turnaround for the team. Yeah. A couple years ago, they were like really struggling, and now they've, with like you said, Sean Payton and just drafting Bo Nix, who's looking like a really, is going to like develop into like a really, really nice quarterback. Like, they're looking to be, they're in a good spot right now.
Yeah, so, they're in a good spot for sure.
Aside from Bo Nix, let's talk about Zach Wilson, who escaped the Jets organization in just the right time. The Jets are not looking good. It's just been a downward spiral for the New York Jets. Wilson is the backup to Bo Nix this season and potentially in the future with a potential extension coming up. But Zach Wilson's value has definitely gone up with the Broncos, and he might garner some interest from other teams in the 2026 free agency period.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. I think even a team like the Rams, who have Matthew Stafford, who's really good, but he's also 36 years old. I could see maybe Sean McVay, their head coach, being like, hey, like, Zach Wilson's a young quarterback. Let me bring him in to back up Stafford for a year or two and then let him take over. I could see a situation like that play out. And yeah, like you said, Nick, he definitely escaped the Jets just in time. Because speaking of playoff droughts, Broncos are second. Jets have the longest. It's going to be 14 years, most likely, if they miss it this year. So, yeah, it's good for Zach Wilson, learning Sean Payton. Like we said, like Sean Payton and Drew Brees, that connection was so good for so long. And I'm sure it's been good for Wilson to learn from a future Hall of Fame coach like that.
Yeah, being under that tutelage of a guy like that, of a coach of that caliber, it bumps up his value even more.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, you work with Sean Payton? Oh, yeah, we want you. Like, that's like, you know.
So. It's like the biggest invitation. It's like when you get a... to learn under that type of experience, like,
yeah,
Sean Payton. And then, you know, if you're able to learn under Matthew Stafford, like, that would be, I feel like that's the perfect type of stylistic quarterback for him. He's only Wilson's only 25 years of age, so he's got like so much time left. And you know, like you said, Stafford's 36, so you're looking for a new quarterback. And you know, Wilson, you know, he still has that potential. Like you can see it. And that would be a good thing. For the Rams organization, it'd be a, because I think that's a solution they're thinking at the back of their head. Like they see Stafford now, and they're like, okay, you know, he's doing good, but how many more years is he going to be doing this? So if there's a possible end, they need to be prepared, right? So having this having Zach Wilson would be great for both, like both him and the Rams organization.
Yeah.
What about the Broncos' rotation of running backs?
Yeah, this is something I'm not super surprised to see. Going back to Sean Payton's days in New Orleans, they always used like a whole bunch of running backs. Like they had early on, it was like Deuce McAllister and Reggie Bush, and then it was Reggie Bush and Darren Sproles and Mark Ingram. Then it was Mark Ingram and Chris Ivory, and then there was Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. It's like they always like, he always likes rotating running backs, keeping them fresh and kind of throwing different players at defenses, which I think is pretty smart. And now we're seeing it here in Denver with Audric Estime, Javonte Williams, and Jaleel McLaughlin as well. All three of those guys have different skill sets, and they're all very like talented, catch the ball, the backfield can run the ball. So it's been good to see.
Yeah, so Sean Payton said in a interview on Wednesday about, you know, who of these guys is going to get the hot seat, or who is on the hot seat, and, you know, who might be on their way out of Denver, just because, you know, three running backs, not very common, right? You usually have two, your tandem, right? He said, that's the $6 million question. It's difficult. We know kind of what we have with those three players, and it's just, it's always hard to feed three. I'm used to, and it's easy to feed two, so kind of do that a little bit. You know, it's so tough, but it's a good problem to have. And he's absolutely right.
Yeah, it is a good problem when you have multiple guys that can like carry the ball and kind of keep each other fresh and everything like that. I think it's good. I don't know. And we're seeing that in the NFL a lot too. A lot of teams who are, you know, it's not like the NFL 20 years back where it was like, all right, we have one running back. He's 280 pounds and we're just going to give him 300 carries. It's like, we're going to have two guys, maybe a big running back and then a smaller kind of change of pace running back and kind of mix them together. And yeah, I think that's what we've been seeing in the NFL, and that's what's going to continue to see moving forward as well.
So Esteem averages 4.7 yards a carry. Williams averages 4 yards a carry. And McLaughlin averages 4 yards per carry as well. So they're all, like, it's not like, you know, you'll have, like, these bursts between one running back will start to play really good and the other one falls. Like, they've all been consistent. And that's kind of what you always want from running backs. And, you know, you can have your thing on, like, who's the number one. But right now, if you were to take, you know, any one of those running backs off the team, they'd be really good. I think they'd be a really good option for any other team.
Let's switch sides a little bit here. Let's take it over to NCAA Division I football. Let's talk about the Michigan State Spartans. They're 4-6 to start the season. They're 14th overall in the Big Ten Conference. A very streaky start to the season. Three straight wins to start off the season, then three straight losses. The losses came against Boston College, Ohio State, and Oregon. So, tough, tough matchup there. And then, through the middle of the season, another three-game losing streak. But the Spartans play tonight, as this recording, taking on Purdue. Purdue is last in the Big Ten Conference with a 1-9 record. Spartans are a pretty good team, despite their record.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, Nick, they had a good start to the year, those first three games. And then they lost those three straight. Obviously, Boston College is a solid team, and then Ohio State and Oregon. I mean, I know Oregon's number one. I'm pretty sure Ohio State's number two. So it's like, those are tough matchups right there. And yeah, Michigan State, they're in a state right now where they're just trying to kind of rebuild their program. It wasn't super long ago. It was maybe like 2015, 2016, where they were in the college football playoff, actually. And they were a pretty good team back then. And now they're just trying to kind of rebuild. Even a couple years ago, I think they won like 11 games. When they had Kenneth Walker running the ball, he was really good for them. Now he's on the Seahawks doing his thing there. But yeah, you know, right now they're just trying to rebuild their program, and they have some solid players. You know, the running backs, Kieron Lynch Adams, has been pretty decent this year, 495 rushing yards and averaging almost 5 yards a carry, so very, very efficient. Aiden Childs, their sophomore quarterback, has been decent as well, 13 total touchdowns. He's taking 26 sacks, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Michigan State try to maybe recruit some better offensive linemen moving forward as well. I think the Spartans, I think the future is bright for them.
Yeah, they're definitely on their way up, as recruiting is definitely going to be a big piece there to their development in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
We want to dedicate this episode to our late friend and colleague, Thomas Nadanis, who passed away last week at the age of 19. A very, very tough week we've had here between the four of us and all of us here at TMU in the sport media program. Not an easy week for us at all. Having to learn the news early Monday morning about Thomas's passing was something that came out of the blue for all of us, and it was a real shock to the system. Tributes throughout the week have been coming in for Thomas throughout our projects that we've been doing this week, but we wanted to do something here for him today.
Yeah, it's been definitely been a tough week for all of us. I know that. And obviously not being easy too, having to the next day do some school assignments and projects, and it's kind of tough just because it's like, well, you know, you're doing things and you're kind of going on, but it's like, you know, you're still, you know, obviously dealing with the loss of someone that you knew, you know, personally and everything like that, and you know, you can't help but think just for you know, his family, and just you know, offer just condolences and prayers to them. Yeah, it's been tough for all of us, and yeah, Thomas is just a great person, man, great guy, funny guy as well. Yeah,
Thomas was incredibly kind. He was a kind guy, a real hard worker, just like all of us. He really, really was passionate about sports, and football in particular. That's particularly why we had a football episode today.
Yeah, he really liked football. I remember when we do stuff together or like assignments together, he'd always be talking about football. So all this guy talked about it, and it was very commendable. He knew a lot about the sport, and he knew a lot. Like, this guy was a really smart person, and yeah, it just sucks.
Yeah, he was like really. I found he was really, really kind, you know, patient exactly. guy. Like he was very passionate, but like he showed so much respect to football, and like he was very, like, not only through his, like, you know, viewing, watching games, but also like his involvement in it as well. Like he was hardworking. He was he's kind of just embodied what, like, you know, a sport media student is, and just like a great person in general. And yeah, it's just when we heard the news, it was so so shocking just to, you know, hear that news, and you never really expect it. You know, you don't think that's a possibility, and then it happens, and you don't really know what to do. And yeah, it's just, he was such a good guy.
Yeah. Massive Broncos fan as well. I remember always like saying Broncos country, let's ride, and we'd all have a good laugh after. But
yeah, that's why we touched on the Broncos and the Spartans this week. Mm-hmm. Two of his favorite teams in the NFL and Division I football. So dedicate this episode to him. You know what I found was when we first got into this program 3 years ago, he was kind of a quiet guy. He was quiet. And then as soon as you started talking about football, he lit up. And, you know, he lit up a room, that too, you know. He was that light in the darkness kind of thing. He was very, very much so. Again, he brought such immense energy, enthusiasm, and passion in everything he did. Whether it was schoolwork, just talking to us and, you know, talking football and whatever we were discussing that day, and it's a tough, tough, tough loss for all of us.
you know, he would demonstrate his passion, and he realized and recognized what he really loved, and that was football. I don't know. It's just it's hard on all of us right now to process, you know, and his family too is. It's just hard to imagine what they're even like going through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just to go over Thomas's accomplishments here, he was the social media specialist in the CFL for 8 months from June 2023 to January 2024. He was also a football coach, flag football coach for the Durham Elite. He coached over 2 years for flag football. He must have been an amazing coach.
Yeah, knowing his passion for the game, for sure.
Yeah, he would have been. He was great. He would have been great at that. Yeah, it's just having the conversations with him, you know, and the conversations we've had over the past 5 months with this podcast. He would have been an incredible, incredible guest on the show.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. He would have lit up the room. He would have had some great conversations. Yeah. And it sucks that we can't do that.
Yeah. As it's he would provide, you know, so much on the Broncos. He would probably go on like crazy tangents and just talk about every part of the team and that would have been it would have been just awesome to hear what he his thoughts on the team and all, and just football in general.
Yeah, it would have been great. It would have been absolutely great.
Yeah.
But it's too bad that we can't do that anymore. You know, with this news, you know, something that we needed to do. We need to keep Thomas's memory alive through each and everything we do here in this program and outside of it and everything beyond. You know, as I said earlier, there were a lot of tributes on a few days after the news had broke. There was a great tribute that a lot of our classmates did for Thomas in their shows this week. A lot of emotions this week for all of us here. Tolly, again, is not here this week. He's grieving a little bit this week. He'll be back next week, and he'll definitely have a good tribute for Thomas next week. But just knowing Thomas, he was made for this industry. He was. And we all know he would have done some incredible things in this industry.
Yeah.
In sports, in media. You know, you saw what he's been able to do, you know, working with the CFL and his coaching accomplishments here. We'll end it off here with just a few stories.
Well, I have one. I remember we were working together on a project, I think, around a year ago. Yeah, around a year ago today at this point. And we were just in the control room just screwing around, and we were talking. This guy is so chill. Like, I like this guy a lot. And we grew up not too far away from each other, so there's a lot of things we could, like, relate to. And I thought that was, like, really, really impactful. Like, when I heard the news, I thought, oh, shoot.
Yeah, for me, I remember kind of like you, Ben, around, like, last year or so. We were in sports marketing class. And yeah, I was just looking at, I can't remember what I was even looking. I think it was some sort of like article about the Packers and how they were struggling and whatnot. And, I think he was sitting like next to me or kind of close, and he saw my laptop. He's like, oh, like you're a Packers fan. I'm like, yeah, I'm like kind of tough right now. And he's like, oh, I'm a Broncos fan. And I think at that point they just lost by like 70 points, their last game. So we were just talking about football and kind of bonding over that. And like you said, Ben, he was just really, really, really chill person. I know him personally, but I just know he's a very, very kind person as well. So that's something I just remember for sure as well.
For me, I wasn't in any group with them throughout my program, But it's just the stuff I've heard. You know, people, you know, talk about him or say, you know, he would like that, or it's just what I've heard is that, you know, the type of person he is, and just, you know, how passionate he was for certain things. And just, you know, like, just how, like, polite and just, like, the demeanor he had. It's just, you know, one that you kind of wish, you know, all people had. He was just, I just always, you know, hear how kind he was. And, like, he was the type of guy that's just, you know, easygoing and just, I don't know, it's just, he was just, from what I've heard and the short, you know, dialogue we had with each other, he was just a really good person to be around.
He's very relatable too. He's very relatable. I'll share a couple stories here. I remember working with him in a class in first year, an on-air production course, and I don't know if I was the host or the analyst of this football show, and we were talking about football, and I remember he was the the remote collaborator, so he was standing out in the concourse of the Mac, and he was standing there, he was getting ready, and you know, he was chatting it up with the person behind the camera and whoever the floor director was, and he was talking about football and getting stuff ready while we were prepping for the show. And I remember we pre-recorded one segment in that show, and I don't know if it was me or if it was the host or the other person on the desk that had thrown it to him during the segment, and the performance that he did was fantastic. It was great.
I remember that.
You remember that?
I do remember that.
Great. He so much passion, so much energy, so much this. And then he wasn't even... He had a hard time... The only thing about that performance was he had a hard time looking into the camera.
Oh, I do. Yeah, no, yeah. I remember.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That was just... Whenever I think of Thomas, that was the first thing that popped in my head. And that was funny because it was, and that was feedback we got. We got as a group feedback saying, Thomas, you had a hard time looking into the camera. But regardless, the performance was great nevertheless. But it was just, yeah, that's the first thing I think of. Mm. Another story that I think of, was a more funny story, not really in relation to class, but I remember going into class one day, in second year, and it was the middle of winter, freezing outside. I remember we were all bundled up and it was really, really cold, and this guy shows up in shorts. he shows up to school in shorts, and we're all thinking, what's going on there, Thomas, what's up? And he's like, yeah, I lost a bet to my brother or something, and I gotta wear shorts for the next 2 weeks or something like that.
Oh my!
And I remember we were all laughing our heads off during that episode. In the winter time, right? Really, 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 really cold. Snow on the ground, right? And you're in shorts. Oh boy, I'm gonna miss Thomas. This was a tough episode to come up with.
Yeah.
Again, not an easy week for any of us here. Thomas was definitely a great colleague and a great friend, and he will sorely be missed. Just to end it off here, we wish our deepest condolences to Thomas's family and friends, and his friends that we have mutual friendships with. Our deepest condolences to them in this very difficult time. That will do it for the end of episode 24 of the Spirited Sports Podcast. And we'll see you next time.